As early afternoon set in, I looked across the well-organized attic with its dressers, trunks, and boxes. All the random silver spikes that had littered the floor in my youth were gone, the floor bare and swept. The medieval arsenal was still around, though. The silver-tipped spears, crossbows, mace, and warhammer had been hung on the wall in neat rows, easy for grabbing. They even had names stenciled above them. Jake, the battle axe, was in great shape, but Ron, the bludgeon, had seen some trauma in the past based on the marks scarring its wood. Mr. Tom had done this, I knew. No one else would skip labeling an item in favor of naming it, like a friend. The guy was well and truly cracked. This morning, I'd woken up to him looming over me again, but this time his expression had seemed particularly anxious.
How did you sleep, miss?
I tried to wave him away, disoriented from waking up. And he jerked back, clapping his hands over his face as if I'd attempted to gouge his eyes out. Delicate orbs intact, he'd then commenced chattering about the evening, how excellent my running must have been because of how tired I'd been upon returning home, and how I'd drowsed through a late supper. Truth be told, the second half of running was mostly a blur. I remembered walking past the hotel and looking in, but after that, everything was a big black hole until after dinner. I'd obviously walked home in some kind of an exhausted daze. But it was hard to forget dinner. It had been some sort of soup with way too many herbs and spices. It had tasted almost medicinal. But it had also cleared away some of the fatigue, and Mr. Tom had been staring at me like he really wanted me to finish it all, so I sucked it down. I definitely needed to start cooking for myself. I walked across the attic to the dresser, something that looked like a wooden tool chest. The small drawer at the top of the dresser contained a collection of pins. Long and thin, short and fat, some were polished to a high shine, and some looked like they had lived in the ground for years. None of them had a loop at the top for thread, so they couldn't be sewing needles. I had no idea what they might be used for. Darts? Voodoo pins? Weird. I opened the next drawer.
Ah, here they are.
The silver garden spikes looked exactly like I remembered. None of them were remotely tarnished. In fact, they reflected more light than should have been possible from the bare bulb above my head and the small round window at the end of the room. I scratched one, feeling the softness of the metal, then frowned. They certainly seemed like silver. Though why someone would have purchased silver garden spikes, I had no idea. The expense must have been ludicrous. And while Mr. Tom certainly would have done something weird, like polish up a bunch of garden spikes, they'd looked just like this 30 years ago. And at that point, the house had been shut up for a long time. No one would have been polishing them then. A strange pressure settled over me, interrupting my thoughts. Cocking my head, I tried to analyze the feeling. It felt like a presence had entered my space. Someone I knew, but not overly well. Was I okay with this person being in my house? What the hell was going on here? My house? A presence entering? Either my sixth sense had gone into overdrive in this place, or I was cracking up. Oh God, I hope I wasn't cracking up. I really didn't want to end up like Mr. Tom. Or any of them, for that matter. Either way, the pressure increased and tingles worked up my spine. A warning of sorts. The not-quite-a-stranger was coming. His or her level of welcome was, as of yet, undecided. I took out a spike on impulse. Just in case I wasn't cracking up, I wanted to be prepared. Austin's big frame grew in the doorway as he climbed the steps, his expression curious and his eyes wary. Once he filled the frame, he stopped, seeing me. His gaze dipped to the spike in my hand. Fear, rage, and an indescribable emotion sparkled in those cobalt blue eyes. I'd never encountered a look like that. A man like that, oozing ferocious power and strength, and sporting a crapload of working muscle. I could barely swallow from fear. Without warning, the door swung shut in his face. I jumped, and the spike in my hand clattered to the floor. Holy crap, Austin Steele was scary when he wanted to be. The question was, why had he wanted to be? Had he wanted to be? A soft knock sounded at the door.
Who is it?
It's Austin. Still. Why were you holding a silver spike?
I shook my head, wondering at my reaction. wondering how he'd managed to so thoroughly freak me out when all he'd done was look at me. And now, he was knocking and politely asking about the psycho holding a polished garden spike. Maybe I was the scary one in this equation. I opened the door. His eyes still wary, he checked my empty hands for the weapon.
I was holding it because I was trying to figure out if it was actually silver.
I glanced behind the door and put a hand up, feeling for a breeze.
Why'd that door shut, I wonder?
That's not what it looked like you were doing.
When I moved on, he inspected the area around the door as well, then tested its swinging ability.
What did it look like?
I picked up the spike, poking it with a fingernail.
You had warrior eyes.
Warrior eyes?
He scanned the wall of weapons, his hands clasped behind his back. His mood had shifted. The room was apparently playing hell on his nerves.
Yes, like you were about to take that spike and charge into battle.
Ah. I watched his broad back as he worked his way across the wall of friends, as Mr. Tom probably thought of them.
And that made you nervous?
Yes, actually. Very.
Because someone of my age and size and inexperience could take someone like you?
Age is only a number, Jess. Don't let it define you. You're only as old as you feel.
So some days 80 and some days 18.
When he glanced back, his smile was faint.
Exactly. Size can be worked around, too. With training, even the smallest of us can be potent warriors.
Like Jet Li.
Exactly. The point is, our only limitations are those we set for ourselves.
But you haven't commented on whether someone like me could take someone like you.
I lifted my eyebrows at him, returning the spike to its drawer and opening the drawer under it.
Well, I didn't want to ruin your day. Listen, I was wondering if you wanted to go wine tasting with me. I need an expert palate.
What he'd said to Mr. Tom yesterday floated into my memory. He wanted me to fail. He wanted to sidetrack me.
I don't have one of those. You can just ask the pourers. They're all too happy to talk about their wines. It's their job.
Yes, but I was...
The words drifted away as he caught sight of the organized daggers in the large middle drawer. Jewels of all colors and sizes adorned the golden hilts. The blades looked like serrated steel or silver. I picked up one of the weapons.
This is why I was checking out the spike. I mean, this really does look like silver.
May I?
Austin put out his hand, his eyes tight again as though this were a trust exercise.
What do you think? I would randomly stab someone just because I have a knife in my hand?
I handed it to him, hilt first.
I live here now, yes, but I'm not unhinged like a couple of the other inhabitants. In fact, I don't even know where Edgar stays. I assume on the ground somewhere because I've looked in every room in this house and he is not in any of them. All but two, Mr. Tom's and mine, are unoccupied.
I pointed at the hand-drawn map I'd put together that morning.
The hidden passageways in this place are legit. I've documented 5 routes so far. Oh, don't stay in this house if you want privacy from me, by the way. Turns out I'm the only one who can see everything. One of the perks of staying in the master suite, according to Mr. Tom. He can't spy on me, but I can spy on him. Must be some crazy kind of facial recognition software built into the security system.
How can you be sure? I mean, doesn't it seem more likely anyone who goes into those passageways can see everything?
I'd have to trust Mr. Tom, and he is a yes man. I had Mr. Tom watch through the passageway orb while I messed everything up in his room. He said he couldn't see anything, and he about crapped himself when he entered the room. His squeals seemed genuine. But still, he named all these weapons and assigned them homes. Who knows with him?
The arrangement of these weapons is certainly odd. I can help, if you like.
Well, that would mean I'd have to trust you.
And don't you? Trust me?
I opened my mouth, hoping I could get my point across without actually having to tell him what I'd overheard, but I stopped myself. Why was I pussyfooting around the issue? If he got upset with my honesty? Tough. No, I don't. I was looking through one of the orbs when you affirmed that you wanted me to fail. I heard you say I was the wrong sort of person to have around these parts. I held his gaze, even though it felt like my spine was about to break from the pressure. His shoulders bowed a little, and the blistering intensity of his eyes reduced. He pinched the blade. A sizzle preceded a string of smoke rising from the place he was touching it.
It's real silver.
He dropped the dagger into the drawer and showed me the pads of his thumb and finger. Red burns marred his skin, already blistering. I grimaced and took his wrist. I shut the drawer with my foot and dragged him toward the door.
Do you have a silver allergy or something?
I've never seen anything like that.
You could say that.
He tried to pull his hand back.
No, there's a medicine kit in like 5 places in this house. A little anti-allergen or maybe some aloe will help that.
I got him as far as the bottom of the attic stairs before he finally stopped, gently extracting his wrist from my hands.
It's fine. A few minutes and it'll be back to normal.
That burn will go away in 5 minutes?
Yes.
He studied me, and something about the scrutiny made my stomach feel fluttery.
Listen, you're right. I did say those things, and I meant them. I hadn't thought things through at the time. I still haven't totally wrapped my mind around it, to be honest.
Oh?
But parts of what I said you mistook. I wasn't implying that you were the bad sort who'd show up. I'm anxious about the people who will follow, and I don't want you to fail. Not at all. If you found a home here, I want you to thrive in it. That's what this town is all about. Second chances. New beginnings. It's why I have reservations about your role here.
I'd love a straight answer.
I know.
He studied me for a moment, and my stomach fluttered again.
I'm asking if you'll hear me out. Like when you explained your worries regarding your safety the other night, I wonder if you'll give me an opportunity to explain my worries. The worries I have for the whole town.
Yeah, sure. He hooked a thumb over his shoulder.
I thought we could do it while we do the wine tasting. There's a lot to unravel. I'll have to give a few confusing explanations.
My guard went up. I didn't think there was any way in hell he'd be interested in me romantically, but just in case, I needed to clear the air.
I just have so much to do here. And I know you probably didn't mean it like this, but I'm not really dating right now. I just got out of a long marriage and I'm trying to...
No. Sorry about that. No.
His smile was disarming as he put up his hands in surrender.
I apologize. I wasn't suggesting we go on a date. Well, I don't date either. I've chosen a solitary life. But I do actually want some help navigating the tasting rooms. If I went alone, I'd feel like a complete lummox.
The humor sparkling in his eyes melted away.
You can trust me, Jacinta. I've been given the okay to be completely honest with you, and I will be. I only ask in return that you be real with me as I will be with you. I want us all to succeed in life, together. But your position is unique, and I'll explain why that is. I'll explain the things Peggy Haverkamp left out.
I nearly fell out of Austin's Jeep. It was so high off the ground. He was there in a flash, steadying me. But how can the house possibly know I'm in the room and it should block the view? Does it use facial recognition? And if so, is it being recorded somewhere? Because I am so not okay with that.
It's magic.
Yes, technology tends to be. But I didn't think the house had much technology in it. The kitchen is seriously old school. It's half the reason I keep letting Mr. Tom make me meals.
Half the reason?
I grinned. Well, it's nice that someone is cooking for me, I admit it.
Bright sunlight showered the street, such a different scene than after the sun went down. People strolled along the sidewalk, stepping into shops or wineries.
What did you mean about choosing a solitary life?
That's not something that'll make sense yet. Let's wait until we have our talk, then you'll hopefully forget to ask about it.
Oh, I never forget.
No?
Okay, yes, I forget everything. Since having Jimmy, my kid, I cannot keep a thought in my head. It's a problem. It seems like it's even worse in that house. You know, Ivy House without the ivy. I just get lost in a carving and lose all track of my thoughts. Or go up to the library, which is unreal awesome, by the way, and forget what I was doing there. That kind of thing.
Tamara Ivy is the one who built the house. When she was murdered within its walls, she imparted her magic to the house. That magic lives there still, on loan to its master. When its master dies, the magic retreats into the house's walls, waiting for its next master. Thus, the house retains the name of its creator. Which winery do you want to start at?
First, the nearest winery, obviously. If we don't like it, we don't buy anything. Second, what? She was murdered in the house?
Yes.
Where?
I don't know. It was hundreds of years ago. More than 1,000, actually.
But this town isn't that old.
It is if you read the right records.
I checked my damaged phone, the screen spiderwebbed with cracks. I'd apparently dropped it on my run without realizing it. Niamh had found it on the sidewalk and brought it over this morning. I owed her one. The poor phone hadn't fared very well, but it was still working.
mostly. What do you mean she imparted her magic to the house? Is that your way of saying she haunts Ivy House? Because you said you hadn't heard any rumors about the house being haunted. He stopped in front of the second winery along our path, having apparently decided to be choosy.
You'll need to forget everything you've ever known for this conversation.
Pretty hard.
You'll need to keep an open mind.
I can do that. He jerked his head at the tasting room.
The woman who works here knows everything I am about to tell you. That is the only reason I'll be frank with you when she's in earshot.
My mind jumped to places I did not want to go. Sexual places that were sticky and raunchy, and honestly, I didn't want to know him well enough to throw open the closet doors and see all his skeletons. He opened the door to the tasting room and stepped aside. I looked into the cheery interior and thought about running.
Come on, I won't bite.
Shivers coated my body. Sure, yeah, why not? A 20-something girl with curls falling past her shoulders gave me a professional smile.
Welcome.
Her eyes lit up when Austin walked in behind me.
Austin Steele, hello. Finally got you in for a tasting, huh?
If he noticed her fawning, he didn't show it. His expression was flat, his eyes hard.
I need to talk business. Just the essential information to get us set up will do.
Yes, sir, of course.
With flustered movements, she busied herself behind the bar.
I'll just open fresh bottles if you'll give me a moment.
On second thought, I could hear a couple of skeletons if it meant getting preferential treatment. She placed the glasses on the counter.
I'm Donna. Should I start from the top of the pouring list?
I glanced at Austin. He looked at me. Well, do you want to try whites?
I want the experience. You lead.
Okay, but here's the thing. You're a big stack of muscle. How long will it take for you to feel alcohol? Because I refuse to take part in this if I'm the only ridiculous one. We've already been down that road. It's an embarrassing one.
You weren't ridiculous. You were hilarious.
I raised my eyebrows, waiting. His crooked smile made him incredibly handsome.
I can hold out longer than you, but not as long as Neve.
Not as long as Neve could be anything. She's an endless pit.
I'll keep on your level, how's that? Somehow. You don't have much tolerance.
Donna poured out a taste for me and a full glass for Austin. No tolerance? I drank a bottle and a half of wine the other night.
Yes.
I lifted my eyebrows at him. He returned the expression.
Wait, is she a Jane?
I threw up my hands. What is it with this town? I thought small towns were supposed to be welcoming. I'm not a freaking tourist. I'm only in here because Austin asked me to come. I have a job. Let it go, people.
Jess is the one that just moved into Ivy House.
Oh.
Jess, a Jane is not a tourist.
I grimaced at the taste of the wine. Yikes. This one is tart and not in a good way.
So that we're on equal footing.
Austin downed his glass.
Good God, man, no! You're not gonna enjoy today if you do that.
I haven't been drunk in years.
Fine, but there are better ways to go about it.
Maybe after today I'll like wine. So, are you ready?
Donna glided back in with a tiny smile curling her lips. She clunked down a shot glass and a bottle of scotch.
Maybe this'll make things a little less terrible.
She put a row of freshly opened wine bottles on the counter and met Austin's eyes.
From this one to this. Let me know if you want anything. If anyone comes in, make them leave until you're ready.
She nodded and made her way back out. Well, now you'll have to buy something from here. She's too nice not to. Hopefully the wine gets better.
Jacinta.
His voice sucked all my focus to him.
We use the term Jane for non-magical people. The bar you were in the other night, my bar, except for a couple of people, everyone there was magical. Neve is magical. So are Earl and Edgar. So am I. So is Ivy House. Magic is 100% real, and almost always kept from those who are not magical.
I couldn't even laugh because of his special ability to make me believe the things that came out of his mouth. What he just said, to him, was absolutely real. I could tell that he believed it with every fiber of his being. I chuckled uncomfortably because what else could I do? He might not wear a cape, but he was still clearly certifiable.
You've heard stories about werewolves, right? Vampires, mages, druids?
Not druids, no. Not sure what those are.
Fine, whatever. Well, they are all real. Edgar is a vampire, Earl is a gargoyle. Neve is...
No, you have to stop. You have to. Have you always believed this, or has the town rubbed off on you?
Austin poured me a taste of the next wine. He poured himself a full glass.
Please don't chug-a-lug that wine. It really kills the spirit of the thing.
He shook his head, a smile wrestling his lips again.
It's impossible to stay serious with you.
I was being serious with that request.
That's what's so funny. Look, you grew up thinking that magic exists only in storybooks. Did you ever wonder where the ideas came from?
Nope. I always assumed it was drugs or alcohol.
But what if the ideas came from life?
Hallucinations, you mean?
He showed me his fingers. The burns were gone.
Normal humans don't heal this quickly.
Okay, but you said it was an allergy.
I grimaced at the taste of the Chardonnay.
Oh, this one is a nope. Big nope on this one.
Normal people don't have their skin sizzled away when they touch silver.
People have sun allergies. That has to be a lot rarer than a silver allergy. What's not normal is this conversation.
Look, Austin, what you're saying is not logical. People probably haven't been honest about that with you because of your size and scariness,
but I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't say anything. Now, I should...
You're gonna have to change!
Donna yelled from the back room.
She's been a Jane all her life. It's like imagining the impossible is possible without any proof. She'll have to see it for herself.
See what?
Donna, you do it.
Donna, do not enable him. And don't try to change men. If they don't do it willingly, it'll never stick.
Donna re-entered the tasting room, stripping off her shirt as she did so. I watched her come around the bar and stop in the middle of the space. Her bra followed her shirt onto the floor. I stood.
Nope. Strip shows and that god-awful Chardonnay are a nope.
Austin put his hand out to stop me. I pushed it to the side. Or tried. It didn't budge.
Get out of the way. I'm done. I'm not here for whatever this is. I'm going home, then maybe reconsidering this whole move because O'Brien's has gotten to be entirely too much.
Watch.
Benny squinted and pulled his head away, as though nervous I might jab his eyes. Why were people in this town so protective of their eyes? Usually people didn't think about that vulnerability. It didn't speak well for my favorite self-defense technique.
This isn't a striptease. This is magic. Look.
A flash of light and heat drew my attention. Donna, stark naked, modeled and bent, reduced down into a huge, hairy, black rat.
What the fuck?
I blinked at the giant rat for a moment. The rat blinked back up at me. I looked around the room. I looked at my hands, then at my wine.
What did you guys put in this wine?
It isn't the wine. She's a were-rat. Her parents are both werewolves, but her mom had an indiscretion, made evident when Donna first changed. Our animals are passed down directly from our parents. There aren't dominant and recessive options, like normal genes. Shifter children always shift into the same animal as either their mother or father. Upon learning that Donna's mother had cheated, her father divorced her, or the shifter equivalent. He made life difficult for them within the pack. Her mother found a place in another pack, but it was also all wolves. And Donna was the odd one out. She was ridiculed. So much so that she ran away at 16 and found this town.
I downed the awful Chardonnay in my glass.
This isn't possible.
You learn new things all the time. How is this so different?
I widened my eyes at him and pretended not to see Donna change back to human out of the corner of my eye.
This is different. This is much different.
How?
How? How? If magic existed in the world, real magic, I would know about it. It's that simple. People would know about it. That's not something you can keep a secret.
Governments keep things secret all the time.
The government knows about this?
He poured a larger taste of the next wine. I gulped it down.
See? That's why you don't gulp wine. It's gross.
A very tiny sector of the government knows about it, and they use their influence to make sure everyone else, including the rest of the government, stays unaware. Magical people don't want Dicks and Janes knowing about them, for the most part. Watch the X-Men movies and you'll see why. It's easier just to blend in, and it's surprisingly simple.
Vampires? People sucking blood?
The legend had to come from somewhere.
Yeah, from TB sufferers who turned sallow. Their gums receded, making their teeth look elongated, and they coughed up blood.
All the blood left my face as I remembered Edgar dragging the guy's body across the grass. His red-stained teeth. His long canines. His... I was running out of the tasting room before I could stop myself, needing to get away from this, unwilling to believe it.
Jess. Jesse.
Austin caught up to me and stood in my way with his arms out, corralling me.
Jess, talk to me.
I don't want to talk to you. I want to get in my car and go back to LA. I want to go back to a place where everything makes sense.
This won't go away. You're too bright and inquisitive for that. If you go back, you'll start noticing all the magical people in that great big place. Those who glide instead of merely walk. Those who move like predators. Those who hunt the night. Now that your eyes have been opened to what is possible, you'll continually notice the proof that it exists. There's no hiding from this, Jacinta. It's all around you. It always has been. I know this is a shock, but...
But do you?
I struggled to get some space so I could look up into his eyes.
Do you know this is a shock? Did you always believe one thing only to have someone destroy your reality?
He shook his head slowly.
I change into an animal. I was clued in pretty early about all this.
Then don't pretend to have any idea where I'm at right now. Don't...
I wiped a tear and scowled at someone walking by. They increased their pace.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to take this out on you.
It's fine. I've dealt with much worse.
I sighed, but I sank into his hug instead of pulling away. He was mostly a stranger, but the solid warmth of his embrace felt like a rock in a turbulent ocean.
This is gonna take a minute for me. I mean, this is crazy.
He nodded and directed me back to the tasting room.
I can't imagine, but I am supportive of imagining.
You sound like William Shatner.
I wiped another tear, my head spinning, my brain not wanting to handle it. Within the space of a few minutes, another world had been revealed to me, one where fairy tales and nightmares were as real as 401ks. Are there fairies? I realized a young couple had walked into the tasting room when I was in the process of storming out.
Yes, they are mean little buggers. I avoid them at all costs.
Austin strolled up to his place at the bar, his shoulders back and chest puffed out slightly. The magnitude of his presence nearly engulfed the room. It was certainly felt by the 20-something guy who rolled his shoulders and sent over an annoyed scowl. I didn't have the ability to rein in Austin's dominating behavior. And honestly, I didn't want to. I needed some time to process my new reality, and for that, I needed the strangers to skedaddle. I had a feeling he could make that happen.
Really, bro? Maybe a little room, huh?
The guy could have moved over. Our glasses were still in our places. It wasn't like he hadn't known someone might return. Austin glanced over at the kid, and suddenly the mood in the tasting room changed dramatically. The size of the space shrank. His stance, his brawn, and his swagger all screamed predator. The younger guy stiffened, then his spine gradually bowed.
Whatever, bro. Service was slow anyway.
He turned and walked toward the door, leaving the girl behind. She flashed Donna an apologetic glance before following the guy out of the tasting room, only pausing to open the door the guy had let close in her face. As though pricked with a needle, the pressure in the room instantly dissolved. Austin leaned against the counter, all ease and good humor.
What in the hell?
And that is why you could have been alpha of any pack you wanted. No alpha I've encountered could do that so effectively. You barely needed to posture.
Ah, so this is where your connection to the animal kingdom comes in handy, is it? Scaring douches?
I belatedly noticed Austin's mood had darkened with Donna's comment. He reached for the scotch.
It's an effective way to scare douches, yes.
Donna touched two of the bottles.
Right. Where were we?
At the one that tastes better? She smiled and picked the second, once again pouring a taste for me and a glass for Austin.
Okay.
I took a very deep breath, remembering what Austin had said about keeping an open mind, then pulled up the many, many books I'd read in the fantasy genre, and the fairy tales I knew, and the folklore. Turned out, I had a lot to work with.
Were things, shifters, uncrowned alpha, that makes sense now. Why don't you have a pack, then?
I swirled the wine in the glass. Pushing his scotch aside, he watched what I was doing and then picked up his wine glass and emulated it. For a bar owner, he hadn't bothered to learn much about wine.
I thought this town was a better use of my talents.
I noticed Donna looking down and tightening her lips. There was clearly more to Austin's story, but based on his quickly deteriorating mood, he wasn't keen on sharing.
And what talents do you bring?
I tasted my wine and was immediately distracted. I nodded and looked over at him, motioning for him to taste.
Well, how does it taste?
He looked at it for a moment, then shrugged.
Like wine?
Better or worse than what you have in your bar?
Better, definitely. Also more expensive.
People will pay for good wine, trust me. Especially if they came to this area to wine taste. They'll expect to pay, and they'll expect good wine.
There'll also be Dick's and Jane's, and I don't need them in my bar.
Magical people don't indulge in wine tasting?
I pointed at Donna. They work in tasting rooms. You don't think they like wine?
Yes, fine. They do visit, and they do drink wine. There, happy? You're right. I'm wrong. That good?
It's good to see you smiling for once, Alpha.
I'm not your Alpha.
Yes, sir.
She bit her lip and busied herself behind the counter. Not to make light of the smiling thing, because you are much hotter when you smile and you should definitely do it more. But yes, I am always right. And of course that makes me happy.
In answer to your question, my talents lie in making sure the people of this town stay safe. I don't need a pack for that. I provide a sanctuary for those who don't really fit anywhere else. Yes, the town has some oddity to it, but the people here are just trying to live a quiet life. I am letting them.
Because magical people don't like people doing their own thing?
Certain magical people can do their own thing, sure. But some don't have the power to do so. Donna was trapped in a pack with a beta, the second in charge, who was giving her unwanted attention. She didn't feel safe, and the Alpha wasn't handling it because Donna was different. The Beta wouldn't let her leave. I made him see reason.
You went and got her?
No. She made it to my territory, and I stood in the Beta's way. The Beta tried to push the issue, and I gave him a better option.
What option was that?
To leave peacefully.
Ha! Donna sprayed spit everywhere.
Sorry.
She hurried to wipe it up.
What am I missing?
It was only peaceful after he ripped the Beta's tail off and permanently crippled his hind leg. Which is not easy to do with a shifter. We can heal almost everything.
Wow. And you don't get in trouble for that? No one calls the cops?
The magical world is complicated. The slice of government that keeps knowledge of a secret also makes sure local police don't get involved in certain magical issues. For that, we have territories. Each territory, large and small, is ruled by a magical group, like shifters or a hierarchy of mages. Most of the territories are fair and actually leave most of the law enforcement to the Dicks and Janes. But for some things purely magical, like shifters fighting for placement within the pack, for example, the territory leaders govern. And if those leaders are less than savory, well then things can be dicey for the justice within that territory. It's sad, but true.
So what do you do if a magical situation gets out of hand, but the Dick and Jane government don't step in?
A memory of a man in a cape feathered my mind. It wasn't Mr. Tom. Who do you turn to?
Here, it's me. Police in this town have very little to do. They usually only deal with Dicks. I take care of the rest. I'd like to think I'm fair and equal.
Donna nodded adamantly.
Fairer than the law, easily. Because the law is upheld by those with prejudices. Austin Steele doesn't give a crap who you are. If you cross the line, you'll have to deal with him.
Lust sparked in her eyes. She busied herself with another bottle.
Virtually no one crosses the line anymore.
No.
He didn't say it with pride, but in reflection. I nudged him with my knuckles. It's cool that people have such faith in you.
And that's my dilemma with you, Jacinta. That's why I wanted you to fail. Might still want it.
He must have seen something on my face because he held up a hand.
Remember that I don't mean fail at life. At present, I am keeping this town safe. I am enough. But there are people out there who are more powerful than I am, more vicious than I could ever be. For the moment, they don't care about this small town. We're nothing to them. If nothing changes, this town will remain safe as long as I'm able to protect it.
And this is where I come in.
This is where you come in. I mentioned Tamara Ivy. She was an incredible sorceress. Her magic was exceptional, or so the records indicate. Powerful beyond compare, robust and diverse. Very few magical people have ever possessed magic such as hers.
And that's the magic you're saying she put into the house?
Yes. That is the highly sought-after magic that was transferred to the house. Only the one selected by the house can wield the magic. But there are powerful people out there with candied words and an affinity for manipulation. They may not be able to wield the magic themselves, but they could wield the magic holder. They can direct the magic. Or so rumor has it.
And you said somehow the magic leaves the house and gets into another person, an heir.
Yes. Oftentimes, the ability to receive the magic travels within the female family line. It usually skips a generation or two. Whoever has the ability to receive the magic becomes the master of Ivy House.
So Peggy Haverkamp has the magic?
No.
He poured himself a full glass from the next bottle and a taste for me. It struck me that we should just head to the bar. This wasn't really a tasting anymore, it was a mind bender.
She thought she'd get the ability to receive the magic, since an heir hasn't been selected in 3 generations, I think. Maybe 4. But the house did not choose her.
So, even if a Haverkamp girl is born with the ability to get the magic from the house, she still has to be chosen?
They're one and the same. Or, at least, they were thought to be. A girl child is born with the ability to receive the magic, and this birthright is usually why the house chooses her. When the house chooses, it imparts the magic.
Right. So Peggy wasn't it. She had a brother who couldn't be the heir. What about Diana?
It's Diana, isn't it? She's the one. Austin shook his head.
Diana was taken to the house. She thought it was a nightmare, right? The house should feel like home. She isn't the one.
So then
I stared at him. He stared back. I shook my head. He nodded.
Can't be me. I have my dad's salty nature and his bubble butt, among other things. I'm definitely his kid. My mom didn't have any indiscretions. I'm not part of the Haverkamp family.
This wouldn't be the first time the house chose someone not of the current family lineage. Usually it chooses someone magical, but looks like you fit the bill. Austin's gut twisted as tears started in Jess's eyes. None of this was fair. She'd left a hard patch in life looking for a fresh start, only to land right back in the stink. His heart went out to her. He'd thought long and hard about this situation, sleeping very little last night and this morning as he mulled it over. Much of what Neve had said was right on the money. His head might have said he was better than ever, but his body told a different story. He wasn't as vicious as he'd been, preferring to maim instead of kill, or avoid the fight altogether. He wasn't as fast, and while he was every bit as strong, or stronger, he didn't bounce back from injuries like he once had. He was sore for days instead of hours. He wouldn't live forever. Eventually, he'd need to pass on this mantle, and he'd find out there was no one to pass it to. No one strong enough, at any rate. Guys like him usually headed up a pack. That said, he still had a solid 10 years, and probably a lot more. His kind didn't live as long as Neve's kind, or Edgar's, or Earl's. But he would live longer than a human. By the time he had to retire, or a stronger enemy tucked him into his grave, most of the people he'd offered to protect would have long since been forgotten by their pursuers. Safe and obscure. Unless Ivy House went active again.
But the house didn't choose me.
He took a shot of the scotch. He needed it. The wine wasn't having much of an effect. Ivy House is coming alive with you in it. Mr. Tom, now you have me calling him that. Earl said you have been increasingly transfixed by the moving carvings. Those carvings don't move for me. The house has already shown you how to access the passageways. I've been in there many times, actively looking for the passageways. I even know roughly where one is located. I still can't find it. The master bedroom chose you. The orb won't reveal a room you're in. These are all signs. Now, the house still might not choose you. I can't say for sure, but it is certainly leaning your way.
So then, what happens if I get this magic? Why would you want me to fail?
If you got that magic, all the seedy characters I mentioned would be drawn to this town. Suddenly, O'Brien's would be on the map again in the worst way possible. powerful players in the magical world would want you to rule by their side. They'd want to harness your power for their own gain. They'd want you to have their children.
Ah, they can go screw themselves if they want that. I'm Dunskies.
You're only 40, you...
Don't you dare jinx me! I've already raised my son. The last thing I need right now is a baby. Nice guy, scary evil magic guy, all nopes.
They will court you. He needed her to take this seriously. They all did. They will try to promise you the world, and they'll have the means to deliver. I will not be able to stop these people from invading this town. I will not be able to protect it from the magical elite, who never take on a situation alone. Even last night, those grunts came in a pair. Her brow furrowed, and her eyes started to blink. She looked down in confusion. That must have been the memories from last night resurfacing. Agnes hadn't wanted to give her the potion, thinking it would endanger her in the long run. He'd taken her point. Jess needed to know what was coming her way, and those kidnappers were a portent of what was in store for her if she was chosen. But Austin and the others had also needed time to explain everything. The compromise had been a potion that temporarily created forgetfulness. Like temporary amnesia, it would allow the memories to come bursting forth when the event was triggered in her mind. He'd just triggered it.
Wait.
She held her head in her hand for a moment. Her wide eyes came back to rest on him, amber wrapped in thick black lashes, incredibly intoxicating. About last night, he explained about the potion and Agnes, whom she seemed to know from Earl.
So basically, I'm in danger until I get that magic, because the magic will allow me to protect myself. But if I do get it, I'll endanger the whole town?
Afraid so.
But won't I be able to protect the whole town with that magic? Assuming, of course, it comes with an instruction manual.
I don't think you have any idea what kind of offers your new suitors will throw at you. Business deals or marriage proposals, they'll do whatever it takes to get you. While they are trying, they'll declare war on each other. A war that will be unleashed here in town. They'll take out any innocents who get in the way, by accident or on purpose. If you leave, they'll still bombard the house, trying to destroy it so as to destroy you. It'll be mayhem, a war zone. It won't be somewhere decent folk want to live. A silent beat passed as Jess took that in. She shivered for some reason. A full body shiver. And then she leaned toward him, her eyes a little crazy.
First of all, those anonymous magical people can shove their marriage proposals up their butts. I've been to that circus and I've seen all the clowns. I'm in no hurry to go back.
Yes, but...
No.
She held up her hand and her eyes sparked fire. It felt like she was tugging an invisible wire right down to his groin. It was not a welcome feeling. Not in their situation.
You've had your turn to speak. Now it is my turn.
Donna poured her a little more wine. Although Donna wasn't smiling, her posture was jubilant. She was responding to those sparks in Jess's eyes, to her tone and demeanor. The call of the hunt was in this woman. Austin felt it too. He wanted to soak it in, bring her somewhere secluded so he could explore it further. Ivy House was interested in Jess for a reason.
Second, I chose this place as my home. I haven't lived in the house long, and Mr. Tom is definitely a nutter, but I love it. I'll live there for as long as I can. If this magic is super powerful, as you say, and for the record, I'm having a hard time believing any of this, we can work together to keep this town safe. We can keep it small, keep it quaint, and keep it weird. Maybe not as weird, but I'm willing to compromise.
Girl, you are all kinds of awesome.
Donna offered Jess a fist bump.
Life goals right here.
Austin didn't know what to say, but one thing was obvious. It would be more dangerous for all of them, Jess included, if she hung around without claiming the magic. Donna, get out. Out of earshot.
Yes, Alpha.
I am not your Alpha.
Yes, Austin Steele.
When Donna was gone, he allowed himself to slouch. You continually make me take a harder look at myself and my surroundings.
Sorry. When I came here, I wasn't looking for any of this. I saw this as a rest stop until I could figure out what to do next.
Instead, you got another circus. Look, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I've given you all the information I have. You seem like a smart lady, and this is your life. You'll do what you need to. I just ask that you remember the town. The people here are good people. They deserve a fair shake, like you do.
And you? You don't deserve a fair shake?
I'm not worried about me.
Maybe you should be.
She dropped her hand onto his, her eyes open and supportive. The frost locking up his heart thawed a little. He pulled his hand away. There's one more thing you should know.
Aww.
She dropped her head onto her arm, resting on the counter.
Aww, no more, please, no more.
No one can help you get that magic from Ivy House. No one can tell you how. When she looked up, it was in the direction of Ivy House. Her eyes turned distant. Her teeth snagged on her plump lower lip.
I think I know how. It would just be a question of finding my way back there. I emerged from the tasting room back into the glorious sunshine. Colorful crystals pulsed in my memory from when I was a kid, pulling at me. Diana pulling me away. Why would it choose me and not Diana? Austin stepped up behind me. His touch on the small of my back was slight, and his movements coaxed me forward without words.
I suspect this means the legends about the genetic component to the magic aren't strictly true. If they were, a non-magical person from a completely different lineage wouldn't awaken the house.
He shook his head at the next tasting room we reached.
I hate that guy's voice. I would sooner eat glass than listen to him drone on about wine.
We continued on.
It seems like the house found something in you that it had been looking for in the Haverkamp heirs. There was a quality in you it craved, so it traded up.
Lord knows what that quality might be.
He looked down on me as we stopped at the corner, waiting for a few cars to roll past.
Courage, confidence, a desire for adventure, quick wit, steadfast, trustworthy, loyal. I mean, take your pick.
My face flamed hot. Boy, have I got you fooled.
Nah, I was just making all that up so you'd feel good about yourself.
Oh, well, thanks a million, man.
He put his hand on the small of my back again as we crossed the street, guiding me. It was almost like he thought I'd randomly decide to go sprinting into oncoming traffic. Wouldn't have mattered if I did, though. There was no oncoming traffic. The pace in this place was slow and tranquil. No one was in a hurry. Time didn't compress until you felt like you were always in a race. The difference was welcome. I felt like my shoulders were looser, my blood pressure lower.
There sure are a lot of tasting rooms for a town this size.
It brings in a lot of tourism. It's good for the town, though the tourists are mostly pompous old fuddy-duddies or obnoxious 20-somethings. I try to avoid this strip in the tourist season.
Are we in tourist season? Must be, right, because October is harvest.
Correct. Add smart and insightful to that list.
I hope you're not trying to get me to list your personality wins. I'm still struggling to find any.
You're intent on boosting my ego, huh?
His crooked grin was back. This guy didn't need my help to booster his confidence. He knew exactly what he was good at. And based on the way other people in town reacted to him, he was dead right.
We passed a small alleyway with baskets of flowers hanging on the sides of the buildings. No dodgy streams of murky water and not one piece of litter. This definitely wasn't LA. I paused, squinting. Standing against the wall, halfway down the alley, stood Mr. Tom. He wore a trench coat, bowler cap, and a pair of circular Harry Potter glasses. His arms hugged his sides and he stared straight ahead. It appeared he thought himself either disguised or invisible. Austin backed up to see what I was doing.
Good God.
Rather than confront Mr. Tom, he immediately shifted his gaze away and kept walking. Big belly laughs racked my body. I hurried to catch up, grabbing his arm to steady myself. We stopped in front of the tasting room, and I gulped in air. I'd laughed so hard I'd stopped breathing.
Part of his magic is blending into buildings, especially stone, and certain types of scenery. He's clearly lost the knack, because what is he thinking?
With a trench coat in 80-degree weather.
And the glasses? What's with the glasses? He's lost his touch.
Oh, you said he was a gremlin?
Gargoyle.
Austin opened the door for me.
Shall we?